Hey, those who are watching, before we get started, I'm going to ask you to do something. I don't know if we ever did this before, but could you express your appreciation there on the other side of the lens for the people that are here tonight? And the reason I'm asking you to do this is because we're filming this on Tuesday. And this crowd came out in the snowstorm. And then I've been here all afternoon, and then I heard people saying that, yeah, they got some of the roads plowed, and then came the rain, which froze. So especially on 96, there's this hill. People kind of slid in here for the last half mile or so. So those on the other side of the lens, we express our appreciation for people who are making this happen. We're so thankful. Thanks for coming out. It makes such a difference to have people here as we're sharing. We're opening the Bibles together. We're singing these songs. All the people that help with the cameras and back there in the booth, thank you for coming out. Because we want to make sure that each and every week we're able to connect with you. We know some of you are just, you're on vacation or you can't make it in. And then others, this is your home church. You're not able to come right now to attend regularly in person. And we love you. We care about you. And this team here is really committed to you. So I just wanted to start with that. And so hopefully you guys felt the future love coming our way. We call it studio church time here. We live in the future. Well, anyway, so let's get started. Well, welcome to the first message in the first series in our brand new year here. Our goal at Emmanuel is we want to take people on a journey over the course of a year. And so we try our best on that journey to match up the season that we're in with the series that we're in. And we purposely chose this series for this season because this is the time of year that a lot of people starting a new year, you're making goals, you're thinking ahead, whether it's relationship goals, financial goals, fitness goals. A lot of people right now are saying, I want to live with intentionality going into this next year. And this is a series that we hope is going to be really helpful for that. Because what we're going to talk about in this series, it affects everything. It affects absolutely everything. As preparing for this series, I came across a quote by a guy who was way ahead of his time. His name was Blaise Pascal. He was a 17th century genius who is known for the impact that he made in areas like mathematics and physics and many of the sciences. And get this, as I was reading a little bit about him, in the 1600s, as a teenager, he started developing a calculator. And you can Google this, Pascal's calculator. It's a real thing. As a teenager in the 1600s, this guy had such a mind, he was developing a calculator. Crazy. Well, here's a quote by somebody worth listening to if you want to stretch yourself a little bit. Here's what he says. He says, "The sensibility of men to trifles and his insensibility to great things indicates a strange inversion." Or in the words of our own pastor, Jason, TikTok will make you dumb. You know? If you want to elevate your mind, here's one of those great thing questions. If you're taking notes, I invite you to write this down. What's the truth about the real Jesus, and why should we care? What is the truth about the real Jesus, and why should we care? History's filled with a lot of people like Blaise Pascal, a lot of people that we can learn a lot from. But only one man's life divides history into two, from BC to AD. How much do you know about him, and why should you care? How reliable are the accounts of his life and teaching? What evidence is there, if any, to support the Bible's claims about who he was and what he said and the things that he did? What is it about Jesus that inspired people on every continent, in every generation, to reorder their entire lives around him? What was it? What makes this Jewish carpenter from an obscure village who died 2,000 years ago worth reflecting on today? As we start a new year, why would we look at him, of all people? Well, this is a series about that. If you got questions about whether or not Jesus was a real person, if you got questions about whether or not the accounts of his life were accurate, if you'd like to increase your confidence going into 2023, that yes, I can lean into these teachings. Yes, I can put my full faith and trust in his way. If you'd like a list of resources, when people come to you over the course of this next year and have questions, this is a series that we hope you find really, really helpful. We're going to dive right in now with another quote. This one's from a brilliant author and scholar named C.S. Lewis. He says, "Christianity is a statement, which, if false, is of no importance. But if it's true, it's of utmost importance. All four of the oldest, most thoroughly vetted biographies of Jesus' life, they're all included in the Bible. And what we're going to look at right now is a statement. We're going to look at a statement from one of the most thoroughly vetted biographies of Jesus' life that was included in the Bible again. This one comes from someone who claims to be an eyewitness. His name is John. And if you have your Bible with you, please open with me to John chapter 1. We're going to start with verses 1 through 3. If you don't have a Bible at home, here's a great thing to do to start off the new year. Go to Bible.com and download their Bible app. It's been downloaded 500 million times. Half a billion times. So join in and be one of these folks who is looking into the Bible. All right, John dives right into the deep end. Listen to this. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. This is loaded language. I actually had to practice verbalizing this one a couple times because the language really stretches us. It's such loaded language that pastor, scholar, and author N.T. Wright, he puts it like this. He says, John knows perfectly well that he's making language go beyond what's normally possible. He goes, but it's Jesus that makes him do it. In other words, human language itself has trouble describing Jesus of Nazareth. John opens with the words, in the beginning. Where else do we find these words in the Bible? Genesis, in the beginning, first book, first chapter of the Bible. John immediately connects the story of Jesus to this much bigger narrative. The meta-narrative of the God of the Old Testament, the God of creation, the God of Moses, of Noah, of Abraham, King David, the God of Deborah, of Esther, of Ruth. So here we are. We're not even to verse 4 yet. We're not even to verse 4. And in his gospel, John introduces Jesus as much more than another prophet, another priest, another king. His origin story, according to this eyewitness of Jesus' life, goes back even earlier than the beginning. He's outside of time as we understand it. He was with God from the start, John says, which implies relationship and distinction, and yet John also says he wasn't just with God, he was God, he says. Not God-like, not a God. He was God, according to John. Divine, eternal. And also, again, this is all in verses 1 through 3. It says, through him, through the Word, as John calls him, all things were made. All right, let's look at verse 4. Verse 4 says this. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In the beginning, in Genesis, the Word of God brought forth light and brought forth life. What do we find in Jesus? We find light and life. As John's eyewitness account continues, Jesus brings light into our world. He unmasks darkness for what it is. He exposes lies and false beliefs and sin and evil. And he also brings new life, revealing how we can be reborn, born again, John talks about. Born again through faith in him and experience abundant eternal life that can't be found anywhere else. All right, John continues, verse 5.